There's quite a few of Southeast Polk the other night to watch Carly and classmates do the Addams Family as a play. We got a glimpse to see what Carly will look like when she's a grandma. It was quite a transformation, but she looks a lot better as a young lady. But she's had a little practice now, so we'll hope when she becomes a grandma that she'll know how to play the part. And thank you, Nick, for making us aware that we have a new sister in Christ. Appreciate that. I'd like to talk about the change that should take place in our life when we accept Jesus Christ into our life, and the changes that God would like to make in each of us. And I'd like to start by reading Colossians 3, and I'm going to read 1 through 17. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, covetousness, which is adultery, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Paul says here that our mind, keep our minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. Verse 1 through 5 here tells us what we are not to set our minds on. And verses 12 through 15 he talks about the things that are above. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiving, harmony, and love and peace. I know we have some problems that might arise in our life that bring unhappiness or things that disrupt our life, but because we have God on our side and because we think of these things, how we can get through them situations, it's a lot easier. He also tells us some of the important ways that we can get our minds set on these things above and keep them there. Tells us to let the word of God dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another. Sing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Everything you do and say, be thankful. And let Jesus be your focus. We can have the right kind of mindset when we fill our thoughts with God's word. And we can keep the right kind of mindset when we worship with other Christians, and we can keep the right kind of mindset when we have the courage to admonish one another. We are changed when we accept Jesus Christ We are a changed person, and we need to accept that change and realize that change is real and let God work within us. Because I think some of us think that once we get baptized and take that step, then we're done. But God wants to make many changes in us. God wants to help us be a better person and be a worker for Him. 1 Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we need to be a changed individual. We need to change our life when we accept Jesus Christ. I think most of us here have made that change, and most of us are willing to serve God. But we have to change from the past life. We might even have to give up some of our worldly ways, maybe some of our worldly friends. But we need to have new ways when we become Christians. We should always want to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ and be together with them as much as we want to be with the friends in the world. I think when we have a chance to get together with other Christians and we do not take advantage of that, we really miss out on the opportunity for that chance of being with fellow Christians and being strengthened and encouraged. A couple of these situations were where we had the opportunity to do this and socialize with those of like precious faith is when we have a potluck like this afternoon. I would see like to see every face here down there this afternoon so I could visit with all of you. But that's not going to happen. But that's the way we strengthen ourselves, because we have the opportunity to socialize with one another and get to know each other better and help each other in our walk through life. The other times that we can socialize is when we dismiss church here many times to support evangelistic meetings at Dean Avenue and Vandalia and other congregations, Martinsdale. We have many opportunities to worship other than just Sundays and Wednesdays. Usually these meetings are weekly, so we have that opportunity. And we need to take part in these opportunities and use these opportunities. We can all find excuses for not attending these Christian gatherings, but the bottom line is truly tells us where our heart and our priorities are. We are supposed to be changed from our worldly ways when we accept Christ. We will be changed and we will be a different person. And the best part of it is it'll be a better person. God wants to make a good person out of us. The worldly ways has Satan in our life and wants to take us down and disrupt our comfortable living and our comfortable life. How wonderful it would be to have our failings and insecurities removed and to be remade into a different person. That's very encouraging thoughts to me. The good news is that the invitation and promise of change have been extended to every one of us here this morning. Jesus didn't die so that our lives could be necessarily improved and upgraded. He died so that we could be transformed, completely different person. As we honored Him this morning at the table, it gives us the opportunity to think about Him. And I think about if we're not in attendance this morning, do we really sit down and think about Jesus Christ and the life that He died for each and every one of us? An individual died for us. What a wonderful thing. We should all be ready to appraise that individual and do things for him. Paul put it this way, therefore, if anyone in Christ is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone and the new has come. The promise of newness in each person who accepts Jesus Christ's sacrifice for his sins. Sometimes the evidence of this change is almost right away. I knew when I got baptized that I wanted to get up here and give a lesson. I wanted to study the Bible. I wanted to do things right away, but I wasn't ready for that right away. It took some time to do that. But sometimes it does happen faster than other times in individuals. We're all a little bit different. God is miraculous. When we think about it, what is Christianity really about? What is the heart of worship? When you think about it, the heart of worship is surrendering to God. Surrender our life. Give yourself to God. Surrender your whole being to Him to be used for a righteous purpose. 6 and 13. Surrender is unpopular, isn't it? Surrender is disliked. And it's disliked as much as the word submission. It implies losing. And no one wants to be a loser, right? Everybody wants to be a winner. Surrender evokes the unpleasant image of admitting defeat. And in battle, forfeiting a game or yielding to a stronger opponent. The word is almost used in a negative, always used in a negative context. Think about captured criminals when they submit to the law enforcement and the authorities. In our competitive world today, we're taught never quit trying, never give up, and never give in. And we don't hear much about surrendering. And if winning is everything, surrendering is unthinkable. That's what amazes me about God. He can do the unthinkable things that you and me don't think will even work. But when we worship God and have God in our life, He is amazing. His amazing things that He can do in our life. Yet the Bible teaches us that rather than trying to win and to succeed and overcome and conquer, we should instead yield, submit, obey, and surrender. And by surrendering to God, we enter into the heart of worship. This is true worship, and it brings pleasure to God. And when we completely give ourselves to God, it makes Him very happy. Surrendering is best demonstrated in obedience, cooperating with your Creator, and you say, yes, Lord, do whatever He asks you. You can't claim Jesus Christ as your Creator if you don't surrender to Him. Think about Peter when he modeled surrender. He'd been out fishing all night and he failed to catch any fish. Think about it, fishing all night and he hadn't caught one fish. And Christ told him to let down his nets on the other side of the boat. What did he say? Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net. Surrendered people obey God's word. even when it doesn't make sense. We have to trust God. When we completely surrender ourselves to Jesus, we discover that He is not a tyrant, but a Savior, and not a boss, but a brother. And not a dictator, but a friend. God has given us each other. God has given us those of like precious faith to worship and strengthen and encourage and grow with one another. The Bible gives us a lot of instructions on how Christians should respond to each other. And these one another's that I'm about to read are all statements from the Bible. And it's directed to each of us or anybody that has surrendered to God. We are to love one another, John 13:34. We are to be devoted to one another, Romans 12:10. We are to live in harmony with one another, Romans 12:16. Accept one another, Romans 15:17. Agree with one another, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Serve one another, Galatians 5:13. Be kind and compassionate to one another, Ephesians 4:32. Submit to one another, Ephesians 5:21. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another, Colossians 3:13. Encourage one another, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Offer hospitality to one another, 1 Peter 4:9. The body of Christ is a place of acceptance, service, and love. It is a community full of compassion, encouragement, and harmony, a group devoted to humility, forgiveness, and unity. And when you think about it, when you are a changed individual, what's that going to do to those around you? That's going to change them because they're being around you and they see the change in you. So that's an encouragement to them. And therefore, then they're going to transform and be changed also. Before I become a member of the Church of Christ or accepted Him as my Savior, I've seen Christian people or people that worship God had a different outlook on life. They had it looked like a more happy, a more complete, a more full life. And so therefore, I knew that when I was ready to accept Christ as my Savior, that's the kind of person I wanted to be, happy. I wanted to be changed from living the life like I was living. Think about this statement and let it be true with each of us. God, I want to live how You have called me to live. Help me in being treated by all believers with love, compassion, and forgiveness. Show me how to humbly serve those around me. Is that what we think about this morning as we worship God, as we're here in His presence? Why do we seem to choose worldly get-togethers and worldly friends over church sometimes? I think it's because that's what our lifestyle might be. We're closer to them individuals than we are to God and those who worship God. Sometimes these things are important, and sometimes we do have to miss services, but it's very important to be here and worship God, and it should be our first priority. Also, we might think about where we want to spend eternity and who we will spend eternity with. I'll read Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Hold fast without wavering. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto good works, to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We need to think about what the Lord tells us in that passage. It says, consider how we can stir each other up and encourage. It says to worship with other Christians in a time when we can draw near to God. Also, sometimes we forget to realize how much our worship with others brings encouragement to them. It's important to look for ways that we stir each other up. Verse 24 there said, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Considering this verse means that we should deliberately look for ways that we can stir each other up. We should think about encouragement very seriously. And I think most of us do that. I'm not saying we don't, but we should definitely think about that. And think about encouraging one another and not discouraging one another. As we give this lesson this morning, we hope that you have been encouraged in seeing that the change that should be in each of us from accepting God into our life. And hopefully, it'll make us stronger individuals if we do start making that change in our life and try to be around those who encourage us and not discourage us. We love to socialize with everyone we meet and get to know them a little better, but we love to socialize with our brothers and sisters in Christ also. So we hope you have been encouraged by these remarks this morning and this lesson. And the fact that if you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you will be a changed individual and for the better. And like I say, God does amazing things in our life. So this morning, if you are outside of Jesus Christ and you have not accepted Him as your Savior and you choose to do that, you have that opportunity as we stand and sing.